This episode of the Ortho Bullets podcast will go over the topic of accessory navicular from the pediatric section on orthobullets.com. An accessory navicular is a normal variant seen in up to 12% of the population. A majority of patients are asymptomatic. As far as the demographics of an accessory navicular, this is more commonly symptomatic in females. With respect to the pathophysiology, the pathoanatomy occurs as a plantar medial enlargement of the navicular bone. Again, an accessory navicular occurs as a plantar medial enlargement of the navicular bone and exists as an accessory bone or as a completely ossified extension of the navicular. As far as the genetics of an accessory navicular, the inheritance pattern is autosomal dominant. Associated conditions with accessory navicular include flat feet and posterior tibial tendon insufficiency. Now let's go over some relevant anatomy. Specifically, we'll go over the osteology, muscles, ligaments, and the blood supply. As far as the osteology, the navicular bone normally has a single center of ossification. It ossifies at age 3 in girls and 5 in boys and fuses at 13 years of age. An accessory navicular is a normal variant from which the tuberosity of the navicular develops from a secondary ossification center that fails to unite during childhood. The accessory navicular does not begin to ossify prior to age 8. As far as relevant muscles, the tibialis posterior inserts onto the medial tuberosity of the navicular bone. Remember that the tibialis posterior is innervated by the tibial nerve. This has been a tested point on previous exams, so I'll say it again. The tibialis posterior inserts onto the medial tuberosity of the navicular bone, and the tibialis posterior is innervated by the tibial nerve. As far as ligaments, the plantar calcaneonavicular or spring ligament originates from the sustentaculum tali and inserts onto the navicular. This functions as plantar support for the head of the talus. The bifurcate ligament attaches to the anterior process of the calcaneus to the navicular and the cuboid bones. This functions as lateral support. The dorsal talonavicular ligament connects the neck of the talus to the dorsal surface of the navicular bone. This functions as dorsal support. As far as the blood supply, the dorsalis pedis artery supplies the dorsal aspect of the navicular, the medial plantar artery supplies the plantar aspect, and the anastomosis between the dorsalis pedis and the medial plantar arteries supplies the medial surface of the tuberosity. Now let's talk about the classification of accessory navicular, and the one to know is the radiographic classification, which is divided into three types. Type 1 is a sesamoid bone in the substance of the tibialis posterior insertion. Type 2 is a separate accessory bone attached to the native navicular via the synchondrosis. And type 3 is a complete bony enlargement. The presentation of an accessory navicular can be asymptomatic or symptomatic. The majority of patients are asymptomatic. Symptomatic patients manifest with medial arch pain, and this is often worse with overuse. This is due to repeated microfracture at the synchondrosis or from inflammation of the posterior tibialis tendon insertion. On physical exam, inspection may reveal swelling in the region as well as medial foot tenderness. Medial foot tenderness specifically manifests as firmness and tenderness at the medial and plantar aspect of the navicular bone. As far as imaging, recommended views on radiographs include an AP, lateral, and an external oblique. The accessory navicular is best seen on an external oblique view. Again, an accessory navicular is best seen with an external oblique view. As far as findings on radiographs, you will see a bony enlargement or an accessory bone. An MRI is only indicated when you're trying to evaluate for other pathology. Treatment of an accessory navicular can be non-operative or operative. Non-operative management includes activity restriction, shoe modification, and non-narcotic analgesics, or a short period of cast immobilization. Activity restriction, shoe modification, and non-narcotic analgesics is the first line of treatment. The use of arch supports or pads over the bony prominence may be helpful. A UCBL orthosis may invert the heel during walking and decrease symptoms, and orthotics must offload pressure from the accessory navicular or they will exacerbate symptoms. As far as outcomes, most children and adolescents who have a symptomatic accessory tarsal navicular bone become asymptomatic when they reach skeletal maturity. A short period of cast immobilization is indicated when pain is refractory to activity modification and shoe modifications. Operative options for an accessory navicular include excision of the accessory navicular. This is indicated for recalcitrant cases that have failed extended non-operative management. As far as the surgical technique for an excision of an accessory navicular, the approach is the medial approach to the foot. An incision is made from the distal third of the talus to the medial cuneiform. You will identify the posterior tibialis and then reflect the tendon, either plantar or dorsal. With respect to the resection technique, the synchondrosis between the accessory navicular and the native navicular can typically be identified easily. You will then resect the accessory navicular using a 1/4 inch curved osteotome, which may facilitate the resection through the synchondrosis. Next, you will trim down the body of the navicular, typically with osteotomes and rongeurs, to remove any medial prominence. Resection is typically in line with the medial border of the medial cuneiform. Remember, do not advance the posterior tibial tendon. The advancement does not enhance the result and increases downtime and morbidity. As far as flat foot deformity correction, this is not performed concomitantly with the procedure unless the flat foot is the primary pathology. Again, flat foot deformity correction is not performed concomitantly with the procedure unless the flat foot is the primary pathology. Some complications to mention include persistent medial prominence and pain. The most common complication is persistent medial prominence and pain when the body of the navicular is not trimmed sufficiently. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, an 18-year-old female presents with left medial foot pain. A radiograph of the left foot shows a type 2 accessory navicular. She has failed conservative management, including shoe modification, anti-inflammatory medications, and cast immobilization. You recommend surgical intervention. The muscle attached to the tendon insertion that must be elevated and subsequently reattached is innervated by which of the following nerves? And the choices are 1. Deep peroneal nerve, 2. Lateral plantar nerve, 3. Medial plantar nerve, 4. Superficial peroneal nerve, and 5. Tibial nerve. The correct answer to this question is 5. Tibial nerve. So excision of an accessory navicular requires elevation and subsequent reattachment of the tibialis posterior tendon insertion, which is innervated by the tibial nerve. To quickly review, accessory navicular is an anatomic variant present in 2 to 21% of the population and is usually asymptomatic. Symptoms include medial arch pain and swelling that worsens with activity. Initial treatment is activity modification, NSAIDs, shoe wear modification, and a period of cast immobilization. Patients who fail conservative management may undergo excision of the accessory ossicle. This involves elevating the insertion of the tibialis posterior to access the accessory bone, followed by reattachment of the tendon. McNichol et al. Reported on 47 patients with an accessory navicular who underwent one of two procedures, 1. Simple excision, or 2. A Kidner operation, which is an excision plus rerouting of the tibialis posterior. Both procedures were successful in relieving symptoms. The Kidner procedure did not confer any advantage over simple excision. Failures resulted from errors in selection of patients and surgical technique. Kopp et al. Retrospectively reviewed 13 patients who underwent surgery for a symptomatic accessory navicular. The authors concluded that when conservative measures fail to relieve symptoms, simple excision of the accessory navicular and anatomic repair of the tibialis posterior provides reliable pain relief and patient satisfaction. Moving on to the next question. Radiographs of a 13-year-old girl with right medial foot pain shows an accessory navicular. The pain has been present for 3 months, is exacerbated by walking and running, and is relieved by rest. She has tried over-the-counter arch supports and non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs for pain relief, but without success. Surgical treatment has been recommended. Which surgical procedure is most likely to relieve this patient's symptoms? And the choices are 1. Advancement of the posterior tibialis tendon to the inferior portion of the navicular, 2. Splitting of the posterior tibialis tendon to excise the bony prominence, 3. Performing a hind foot osteotomy to correct pes planus, and 4. Performing osteosynthesis of the non-united bone. The correct answer to this question is 2. Splitting of the posterior tibialis tendon to excise the bony prominence. So studies that have compared simple excision of the painful accessory navicular and prominent medial navicular with advancement of the posterior tibialis into the plantar midfoot, otherwise known as the Kidner procedure, have shown no significant difference in outcomes. Simple excision without correction of hindfoot valgus has been shown to provide adequate pain relief in the majority of patients. Fixation of the non-united accessory navicular to the proper navicular will not decrease the size of the painful medial prominence. Moving on to the next question. An 18-year-old male complains of a painful prominence over his medial midfoot for the past 2 years and says an orthotics have failed to provide relief. Physical exam demonstrates a firm, non-mobile, tender bump on the medial midfoot with no skin changes. A radiograph demonstrates an accessory navicular. Which of the following is the best treatment option? And the choices are 1. Total contact cast, 2. Steroid injection, 3. MRI of the foot and chest CT scan, 4. Open biopsy, and 5. Surgical excision. The correct answer to this question is 5. Surgical excision. So this patient has an accessory navicular. Conservative measures are the first line of treatment for a symptomatic accessory navicular. Surgical excision is a reliable intervention for cases refractory to conservative management. Grogan et al. Reviewed 39 patients with symptomatic accessory naviculars. 25 went on to surgical resection following failure of conservative management, with all 25 achieving complete relief. And moving on to the final question. A 10-year-old boy presents with medial foot pain that is severe enough that it limits his daily activities, such as walking to school. Physical exam shows tenderness in the medial forefoot, 3 centimeters anterior and inferior to the medial malleolus. An AP radiograph of the foot demonstrates an accessory os of the navicular. Non-operative treatment, including orthotics and cast immobilization, was attempted for 3 months without success. What is the most appropriate next step in treatment? And the choices are 1. No treatment needed, return to class. 2. Continue serial casting. 3. Excision of the medial prominence of the navicular, including the synchondrosis. 4. RIF of the navicular nonunion. And 5. Bone stimulator for the navicular nonunion. The correct answer to this question is 3. Excision of the medial prominence of the navicular, including the synchondrosis. So this patient has a painful accessory navicular that has failed conservative treatment. Excision of the medial prominence of the navicular is indicated as a second line of treatment. To quickly review, the accessory navicular is a normal variant seen in up to 12% of the population. Repetitive microtrauma at the level of the synchondrosis may lead to medial foot pain. If non-operative management fails, excision of the accessory navicular is indicated. Often, advancement of the posterior tibial tendon is completed with accessory navicular excision, otherwise known as the Kidner procedure. The theory is that this helps restore the pull of the tendon and prevents medial arch sag. Kopp et al. Retrospectively reviewed symptomatic patients treated with accessory navicular excision and anatomic repair of the posterior tibialis tendon. 13 of 14 patients were pain-free. No patients had activity limitations, and all were satisfied with the outcome. Bennett et al. Retrospectively reviewed symptomatic patients treated with accessory navicular excision and anatomic repair of the posterior tibialis tendon. Good and excellent results were obtained in 90% of patients. That's all for this review about accessory navicular. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.